Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way through the Acts of the Apostles as we continue to celebrate the Easter season and making our way to the celebration of the Ascension and the Day of Pentecost. Maybe the best time of the year from my perspective in the church, and of course Christmas, and there's other wonderful times, but we see the emergence of the church and how the Lord built his church. What were the essentials that were present in the message, in the mission, and how the mission unfolded? Really great to read this. It's very, very inspiring. And anytime the church talks about renewal, there's different kinds of renewal, but the essence of renewal, of a church getting renewed, coming alive, the Catholic Church, you know, it's often talked about, the essence of renewal is this being renewed in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and then being renewed in the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in the church. You say, well, how do you know what that is? Well, it begins, of course, with looking at the life of the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles and how the mission went forward. Now, our time and our situation is not exactly the same as it was then. There's a lot of very interesting parallels, but it's not the same. Society is different. But the bottom line is that the gospel continues to go forward and the spread of the kingdom of God through the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's one of the things we are making note of each day as we go through it. And so everyone who's baptized into Christ has been given the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's been baptized into Christ is baptized in the Holy Spirit. The question is that gifting, the gifts and the power, the charisms, the life given to each of the baptized, is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit activated that person's life? Are they accessing the grace through faith, living in a life of abandonment and trust to God? God is our Father, responding to the Holy Spirit's work in us that, you know, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and then gets to that beautiful climactic part of chapter 8 where he said, we're no longer slaves. We're no longer separated from God. We're not slaves to sin. We're not slaves to death. We don't have to be slaves to the power of the drives of concupiscence or the flesh in us, that dimension of human existence where we have a tendency towards sin. We don't have to be slaves to that anymore. But he said, instead, we're sons, we're children of God. He said, one of the ways we know that and we actually experience it is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. The Spirit of God that speaks to the human spirit, that place where we encounter God in the depth of our being, where the Spirit of God speaks to the human spirit, saying, God is our Father, Abba. And we come to see God the way Jesus sees God. In fact, we come into the relationship with God that Jesus shared. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And as I love the Father loves you the same way he loves me. We're being brought into that relationship. That's what it means to be a child of God. And where does the reality come from? The ontological reality of that is that the Spirit of God has been given to us. Where's the experience of it? From the Holy Spirit, who comforts us, who gives us faith conviction that what we see in Jesus and his very heart relationship with the Father is something that each one of us are given. And so it's critical to not, when we read these things, to not just be inspired by the history of it, but to understand the reality of what the apostles were living. And like Peter said in the first miracle he performed, when all kinds of people in the temple had saw the crippled man rise, they rushed to Peter, like, who is this amazing guy? This celebrity's got all this power, or, you know, what great prophet he, who is this guy? And Peter said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, I'm just like you. I'm a weak and broken man, just like you. This didn't happen because of me, because of my super piety, or I have a set of dazzling skills, or I'm a, you know, a wonder worker on my own. No, this happened because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And by his name and the authority that's in his name, this man now stands before you. For a church to be renewed, for the church to come alive, just little digression here. We don't need a synod For example, like the one in Germany. Synodality is a wonderful thing. Having synods is a wonderful thing. But the synod is meant to lead to really what's the Spirit saying to the church? What is the Spirit saying to the church? Not what am I saying to the church or what I think the church ought to be? And then change the fundamental teaching of the church, which is happening in places being proposed in Germany right now. Authentic renewal and what every generation actually needs more than anything else is precisely what the apostles are saying and doing here in the Acts of the Apostles. There's just no question about it. So back to where we were in chapter 4, we left off yesterday, where Peter and John, because they healed the man, because they were proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, causing commotion as a result, were brought before the Council of Israel, the religious leaders. And they were not happy with Peter and John, and they told them, stop talking about Jesus. Stop proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. Stop what you're doing. And then Peter respectfully said with boldness. Now, you see what's happening here is the powers are resisting the proclaiming of the gospel. Peter's got a choice to make. What's he going to do? These people have what seems like all the power. They have soldiers. They have jails. They can do a lot to them, to Peter and John. Now, Peter, prior to Pentecost, probably wouldn't have responded as quickly and as easily as he's doing here in this account. Because he knows that Jesus rose from the dead. He knows the Spirit of God dwells in him. He knows Jesus said this was going to come to anybody who is going to stand for Christ in a fallen world, that there would be tribulation, there would be persecution, and potentially martyrdom. And Peter, with all boldness, says it right out. He said, essentially, you must say what you have to say, but for us, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard, what we know. And we're not going to stop, basically. But the religious leaders, it says, couldn't do anything about it because the crowds were getting behind Peter and John. And so they warned them and let them go. And what's interesting then is they returned to their brothers and sisters. And here's how they responded. It said, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, and what is it that they heard? The report that Peter and John gave about their time before the chief priests and the elders. And here's what they said. Just ordinary believers, people who are coming, the other apostles and those who are following them. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who by the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, what are they doing there? They're quoting Psalm 2. That's where they mention King David. And Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm, a psalm about the Messiah. And you see in this psalm, it's very prophetic, and it's prophetic for our time. There's basically four stanzas in this psalm, and it's one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament from the psalmody, you know, from the Old Testament there. So it breaks down into two parts. Number one, the first one is what they're quoting here. They're saying, how are the kings of the earth, the powerful people, the influencers, the drivers of culture, the kings themselves and those working for the kings, the movers and shakers, what are they saying? And what the psalm reads this way from the Revised Standard Version, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain or plot a vain thing? Good question, David's asking. Why are these leaders of nations conspiring against the Lord? They're plotting a vain thing. Why are they doing this? It's a vain thing because ultimately you're not going to stop. No one can stop God and what God's going to do with his plan of salvation, his plan in the earth. Verse 2, the kings of the earth, they're setting themselves and the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. The Lord and his anointed. Who's the anointed? The Lord is God and his anointed is his Christ. It's Jesus. And as a prophetic psalm, this is anticipating what is going to happen to Jesus and those who are following him. In verse 3, David is hearing and imagining what the kings of the earth are saying in their conspiring and the rulers who dominate culture who are saying, who have control over the levers of power and politics and economy and the rest. Verse 3, it says, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. What does that mean? To the commandments of God, the rule of God, the wisdom of God, from the perspective of the kings of the earth, this fallen world, God's commandments, God's ways, God's purposes are like cords that bind us or weights that hold us down, that God's commandments enslaving, not freeing. And the kings want to rule. They don't want to have to be subject to anybody. There's the human heart right there. That's the sin-sick condition of the human heart. I will not serve. Okay, that's the first part of it. The second part then is, he who sits in the heavens laughs. God laughs at them, his creatures. That's why they're plotting a vain thing. It's not going to work. But the blindness of pride, rebellion, and rejection of God, humanity will build its own Tower of Babel again and again and again. And that's what's happening here. But the king sits in the heavens and laughs. He laughs them in derision. He knows, it says, then he will speak to them in his wrath, and he will terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. There's the will of God. And this is really what the kings of the earth, and even today, friends, in the abandonment, I just saw New York Times, someone told me on Good Friday, you know, somebody else wrote an article about, it's time for us to finally put away God or to forget God. And we know how intensely secular the culture is becoming and how many people are following the kings of the earth. And what's being revealed there, friends, in the apostasy that's happening and the following the kings of the earth is the idolatry that's in the human heart. People want the favor of the rich and the powerful and the cool and the wealthy, right? And they want their safety, security, their fame, their honor protected. And so they're walking away. But God sits in the heavens and laughs. And he said, but then his anger rises and he said, I have set my king on Zion. Not only King David in the past, but the Lord himself now is king. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. And then he goes on the next sentence, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, so it's first part is the kings of the earth plotting a vain thing. Number two, God sits in the heavens and laughs and declares that his king is on the throne. Number three, I have set my king and given him the scepter. And now David gives a warning. And this is the kind of posture the church should have at times, and I think have at times like now, with the arrogance in which people are rejecting God and coming against him. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. David said, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss his feet. Friends, one of the fundamental things missing in many in the church today is a healthy fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. God is God and I'm not. God bless you. Hope you can have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.